Well, I just thanked God for a number of things, for you, for what I'm always thinking about when I come to church, you, and being thankful. What are you grateful for in this moment? Let's just take a second and really think about it. It might be that you are grateful, thankful for many things, or your life might be very hard right now, and you're not thankful for much of it at all. We've all had hard times like that. Maybe there was, even in that hard time, or even now in a hard time, one thing, one person, one moment of grace in the midst of trouble that we were able to hold on to and to be thankful. That feeling of thankfulness, of gratitude, it helps us feel so much better. And what do we do when we are grateful, thankful? How do we act? With whom do we connect? The gospel story about the 10 lepers who were healed by Jesus offers us a chance to consider this topic of gratitude and the actions taken in response. As well, during this month of October, we are given a chance through our stewardship program to consider gratitude and the actions we take in response to our thankfulness for the wonder and joy that we know through God's grace, that we know through Holy Comforter, through God acting in us and through our church. Jesus was known for healing. He was really known for healing lepers, which was such a crazy thing to want to do, right? Not only would it be impossible, but everyone was really scared of those lepers. In today's story from Luke, much is being said about the character of God and the possibility of knowing this God who heals and restores community and includes all, you, me, everyone. When we know the healing of God, how do we respond? How have we? How will we? Remember that in Jesus' time, people with leprosy were blamed for their illnesses. Not only were they really scary people who looked horrible that you wanted to avoid, but most people thought they'd done something wrong, and they deserved this, and they needed to be excluded from community. People with leprosy were forced to live only with other people who were sick and away from their families and their friends and their community. So it's the things that Jesus was healing, it wasn't just physical, it was all of that brokenness and fracturing community. This story shows us that God did not believe as the culture believed. This is a key point to always keep in mind, right? God does not punish as people believed others deserved. And this still goes on. People say, oh, that person's in trouble because they did something wrong. God is punishing them. This is never true. People can speak of us and them. We hear this a lot. These people don't belong in this country. These people are bad. These people aren't as good as we are. People say these things to divide us, but we know the truth. We are all God's children, and God loves everyone. This is our participation phase. Who does God love? Everyone! Who does God love? Everyone! Doesn't that feel good to say? We've got to say that again and again in our world. So the mercy and grace of God shines through Christ, who in this story of healing, what happened? What was he doing? He saw them. He saw the people no one wanted to see. He saw them, he blessed them, and then he cured them simply by speaking. All that was needed on their part was to approach and to cry out to Jesus, asking for help. In this world of us and them, lepers and Samaritans were definitely them to many who were following Jesus at the time. But who did God love? Everyone! And so he sees them and he says to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they are healed. Then one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He gets down on the ground at Jesus' feet and he thanks him. And he was a Samaritan. Mic drop. He was a Samaritan. What? That can't be right. The hero of the moment was the Samaritan, who everybody following Jesus who thought they were doing fine in life thought shouldn't be the hero. And then Jesus says, where are the other nine? Were not 10 healed? Now, some have noted that it's not that bad to maybe go home to the people you haven't seen in a long time, maybe years because you've been sick, and celebrate with them and praise God with them. Why is this story written this way? The point is being made, the huge point, that it's this foreigner, this Samaritan, who was able to be in right relationship with God, who was. And this Samaritan was fully healed and acting in faith, praised God. And then Jesus says, this is the faith that made him well. Go on your way. This is the faith that makes you well. And I believe in ways that were not visible. We can imagine that this man had hard times ahead. But the faith that made him well would not be dependent on the circumstances of his life after that encounter with Jesus. As I was writing the sermon and reflecting prayerfully about it, what came into my mind is what we had for our prelude, Ellen. You were thinking too. All is well. It is well with my soul. You know that song? That came into my mind as I was right at this point in the sermon. And so I didn't know a lot about that song, and I read about how it came to be. You might know that Horatio Spofford, he wrote the lyrics to this hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. He wrote them after he had suffered terribly in life. He was a very successful businessman, but his son died of scarlet fever. He lived through the fire, the Chicago fire of 1871, and his business was terribly impacted by this in a bad way. He sent his wife and his four daughters off on a trip to be sort of lifted up spiritually. They were going to hear somebody talk about things of the Spirit. And on the ship, it sank. It was hit by another ship. All four of his daughters drowned. His wife survived. And then Spofford took a ship to meet his wife along the same route. And when he got to the point where his daughters died, he wrote these words that would become the hymn. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, that makes a lot more sense now, doesn't it? When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul. God's love for us does not mean that we will always be healthy or that the people we love will not suffer. But we too can hold on to those times of healing and grace, hold on to what we've known, our experience of God's mercy. We can find that memory or that remember the person or the time, and we connect with our gratitude for God's love that is always with us, supporting us and enfolding us. And this is how our souls can be well all the time. We can hold on to and celebrate and give thanks for the wonder and the joy in God's works. When we baptize someone, when we bring someone into the community of faith, the body of Christ, we being the body, we say this prayer. This is the end of the prayer. Give them an inquiring and discerning heart, the courage to will and to persevere, a spirit to know and to love you, and the gift of joy and wonder in all your works. This is the prayer for the newly baptized. It is so beautiful, and it's real. We need courage. We're going to need to persevere. We're going to need discernment. May we have this spirit to know and love you, and this gift of knowing joy and wonder in all God's works. Our diocese has given us this theme, designed a stewardship program around the theme of wonder in all. And we're focusing on this theme in our program this fall. The Samaritan who was healed from leprosy experienced joy and wonder. I experience, as I mentioned already, joy and wonder when I look out at you. And I think about Kristen and how long I've known her, and now she's going to be a rector. There's a lot of joy and wonder. I have joy and wonder in our church, in this community of hope and love and striving for justice together, the many ways that we share love with each other, lift each other's spirits, and help other people. I experience joy and wonder when I see the great ministries that you do, that you make possible. Please see our October newsletter for articles from Beverly, our senior warden, and Sean, our junior warden, as they reflect on their sense of joy and wonder here at Holy Comforter. Some of the things they highlight may be on your list too. Sharing food through our food pantry, caring for children and teaching them and praying with them and being with them, singing songs, worshiping together, having meals together, making meals for others, our commitment to justice, our care for youth in the church, and much, much more. What makes you want to turn around or even turn right now to God and give thanks? How can we give thanks to God? We live our lives for God in numerous ways, giving thanks, many ways. One of the ways is to support our church financially so that many others may know the joy and wonder that we have known. Some clergy don't like to talk about money. You all know this. Some people don't like to talk about money. Our history and relationship with money has an influence on how we are with it today and our level of comfort in discussing it or not discussing it. There were times in my childhood where with my single mom and I, we had very little money. There were times when I was with people who had a lot of money. There were those years I spent in college and grad school, which went on for a super long time. I was 32 when I finished PhD and seminary and finally actually got a check with money. I didn't get that for a long time, so it was sort of a self-imposed lack of money with just enough to pay for school with loans and grants. So now I have joy and wonder in having money to give to others, to give away. It's a great privilege. It always feels that way to me. It's a privilege to be able to contribute financially to our church and other charities that I support. I love to talk about money in the context of supporting God's ministries that happen through our church. And this is why it's good that as a priest, I'm not afraid to talk about it, because we need to be real and talk about it. Without us, our church would not be here. Without our financial support, it wouldn't be here. Or it would be very limited in what we could do. But with our support, the wonder and joy grows more and more, and we're able to give this gift to others, and in thanksgiving to God, who's given us everything that we have. Perhaps we know that God's healed us and helped us and brought us into community. Remembering that for which we are thankful, those moments of joy and wonder, knowing that it is well with our souls, we can hear Jesus say to us, "Get up, go on your way. Your faith has made you well." And in my prayer with this scene, I hear Jesus add for us, live your faith. Help others know of my love for them, that they may have joy and wonder in all my works. Amen.